This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field, caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Well, this is going to be one of those nights on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. It's going to be one of those nights where we hear from you quite a bit. Your thoughts on this one, a 31-30 loss for the Patriots in Baltimore, and one that is going to be second-guessed at least all over New England, if not all over the country. And you've heard this storyline before in the NFL. I don't know that it's affected the Patriots up close quite as much as it did tonight in the first 2 weeks, but the officials are going to be a part of this thing. 24 penalties called in this one. And I'll tell you what, right down to the last play, a 27-yard game-winning field goal by Justin Tucker. Who knows, was that thing clearly in? It was directly over the uprights. Look, the officials right there, I don't think they're going to blow that call, but that was awfully close. And I expect an awful lot of fire for these officials tonight on this program. That's what I would anticipate from Patriots fans here tonight. And you know what? We saw a nationally televised game earlier this week between the Broncos and Falcons all the way back on Monday night. Got a lot of scrutiny. Same thing in this one. Officials way too much a part of the fabric of this game. They lost control at various points. Players were shoving one another. And unfortunately, it overshadows a pretty good game back and forth. Not the Patriots fans are going to want to hear that. The defense certainly lets down the Patriots in that fourth quarter as they get outscored 10-3 in the fourth quarter and blow a 9-point lead. Again, they fall to the Baltimore Ravens 31-30. It's the first time the Patriots have been below 500 since 2003. And so we'll get to all your thoughts throughout this one. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Before we hear from you, let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Look, you guys aren't going to want to hear the good from this one. I will say, the offense in the first quarter came out on fire for the Pats here tonight. Had to punt on their first drive, but their next three drives, Gostkowski 37-yard field goal, Brandon Bolden 2-yard touchdown run. Granted, that was just a 6-yard drive, three plays and 6 yards as Bolden punched it in for 2 yards out after the Steve Gregory interception. And then Gostkowski punched through a 49-yarder. So 13 points in the first quarter. That was good for the Pats. As were their receivers tonight. We'll separate them out. Wes Welker and Brandon Lloyd were each over 100 yards. Welker caught 8 of the 10 passes thrown his way for 142. This is after a week of guessing what his role is going to be. Wes Welker was on the field quite a bit, especially with how many 3 wide receiver sets the Patriots ran, and especially after Julian Edelman left the game with a hand injury, which we'll get to momentarily. Brandon Lloyd caught 9 of the 12 passes thrown his way for 108 yards. It's the best that Brandon Lloyd has looked. So there's your good list for the Pats. Bad list. I thought Devin McCourty played good for about 3 quarters of this game, and he really reared his ugly head in the fourth quarter. Let me tell you, Devin McCourty, struggling down the stretch. Killer pass interference call. Killer pass interference call against Jacoby Jones on that final drive, which really set up the go-ahead field goal for the Ravens. That was one of 2 pass interferences against McCourty, though the other one was questionable on the previous drive. McCourty also dropped 2 different interceptions in this one and allowed a pair of touchdowns. Now, they were different. One was a 5-yard corner touchdown to Torrey Smith, which brought the Ravens back within a couple of points. He also is the one who totally whiffed on that 20-yard Pitta touchdown. So Devin McCourty all over the bad list tonight. Kyle Arrington was at the top of the thing before McCourty leapt in front of him. Arrington torched all night. including on the 25-yard touchdown pass to Torrey Smith. That was his first. Arrington also just fell down on that final drive when he could have had an interception. And he also had a defensive holding penalty, so that was Arrington's night. And then the officials, which is where we started. They have to be on the bad list tonight. 24 accepted penalties in this one. Many of the questionable variety. Going both ways. Remember, the Ravens had an interception negated on the next-to-last drive. They wound up winning the game, so I don't think they're going to dwell on that one too much. But the officials, much, much too big a part of the fabric of this one. And by the way, something I neglected to mention, coming off the top, apparently Vince Wilfork went after the officials with a lot of disdain after the game, ripped his helmet off and went after him, as did Bill Belichick. We're watching it again here on NBC. Went out and literally went to grab an official. You know, it's not like he pushed him or shoved him or anything like that. I'm not sure how it's being characterized out in the Twitter sphere right now. But he certainly made contact with a referee, chased him down. I would expect some type of fine to be coming Bill Belichick's way. And we'll hear from Bill Belichick at the podium momentarily here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you on Patriots.com. We mentioned the Julian Edelman injury. He's the only player who left and didn't return tonight with a hand injury. And Edelman actually pretty productive in this one. Caught a touchdown pass. Had four grabs for 28 yards. Also had a rush in this one on an end-around play. And the touchdown by Edelman was a nice one, 7-yard pass right before halftime, but that's also the play, presumably, that he injured his hand on. He did not return. Other players shaken up who did return, Brandon Lloyd, which was a good one, and then Kyle Arrington, not so good for the Patriots on that final drive. As we mentioned, he just completely fell down, stumbled, and had a chance to come up with an interception at the end of the game. So the Patriots secondary, their defense in general, really lets them down against a good offense. You know, an offense that we were talking about on the pregame show. You know, if the Patriots, you know, if they could have made a major, I guess, statement tonight defensively against a quality offense, and they just didn't do that. They didn't do that. So when you're talking about the defense and getting a real feel and a real understanding for where this defense is at, this may be a better representation of what we saw during the first 2 weeks of the year. The first 2 weeks, you're going against the guy making his first start in Jake Locker, who played pretty well today, by the way. And then in your second game, you're going against Kevin Cobb, who's bounced around quite a bit. So for me, that's sort of where I'm coming down on it. You got your best offense that the Patriots have faced, and they didn't come up big defensively. So that would be the main takeaway in this one, though. The Patriots' offense didn't exactly bail them out at the end of the game either. That Patriots offense, their last two drives, couple of punts, including some questionable play calling. And that's really where the offensive line let the Patriots down, by the way, as well. You know, Nada sacks Brady. And then Brady has to, you know, really hurry his throw and get one out as Kruger was bringing pressure off the right side. I believe it was Sebastian Vollmer on that play, who just completely didn't pick up a guy, or there was no extra help and the Ravens brought too many guys. I had Vollmer with a question mark on that play, but Brady under siege, not for most of the night, but he was on that one drive. So the offense letting the Patriots down at an inopportune time, but the officials are going to be a major talking point throughout the course of the night here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, especially given some of the antics after this one with Belichick chasing down an official. And supposedly Vince Wilfork doing the same thing as well, though I haven't seen that yet. I'm monitoring the Twitter sphere here. And I saw a tweet earlier from Mike Reese tweeting about Wilfork being upset, chasing down the officials. Here it is from Mike Reese. Wilfork raced towards an official after the Ravens made the kick, ripping off his helmet. Emotion spilling over for the Patriots. And it's understandable. I mean, if you're on the sideline for that thing, you're not going to have an excellent look at it. You know, the way we saw however many instant replays that we saw that kick, and I'm still not sure about it. If you're on the sideline, of course you're going to be upset. And we're just looking over some of the tweets here before we get to your phone calls and your emails. This is just a sampling of what's out there right now. Steve tweets at me, at Adam Jones, ESPN. Terribly officiated game and badly played. I'm starting a boycott on the NFL by Patriots fans. Please boycott the refs to come back. That's Amanda writing at me or tweeting at me, at Adam Jones, ESPN. Wayne tweets in, joke, refs are crap, joke of a league. I'm at the point to stop watching the NFL now. And more of the same from Ian and Roberta tweeting in. Our team's now having to play against the refs, too? What a screw job. Kevin, I hear what you're saying. Like, if you're the Patriots, there are bigger reasons you lost the game than the officials. That's not what I'm saying here, by the way. That secondary was awful down the stretch. McCourty and Arrington. McCourty, I thought, had played pretty well so far this season until that fourth quarter. So when I talk about the officials being too much a fabric of this game, I'm not saying that's why the Patriots lost. Please don't misunderstand me. And if that's how it's coming across, then I apologize. But you're looking at a game where the officials were just much too much a part of the game. And it's on display now for the second straight nationally televised game after the Monday nighter. I guess the second out of three. The Thursday nighter was okay. Going back to that Broncos-Falcons game where people are talking about the officials instead of the games. And look, they're playing it again in slow motion on NBC. It still looks like that thing is a questionable made field goal by Justin Tucker. And imagine the wrath he would have got, Kevin Collins. This is after Billy Cundiff misses a field goal that could have sent the Ravens to the Super Bowl last year. He barely snuck that thing over the upright, if he even did. And we're not sure. I understand why the Patriots are upset about it. It doesn't give Bill Belichick the right to go grab an official coming off the field as he did. And because he's Bill Belichick, I would imagine there's going to be much made of that contact. He literally was grabbing after the guy who clearly wanted nothing to do with Belichick, and he tried to grab him running by. But Will Fork also ticked off, and you can understand it from the Patriots' perspective. All right, let's get to you. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get to some of your emails as well, rolling into web radio at Patriots.com. Let's kick off the postgame show with Jake in Pittsburgh. What's going on, Jake?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, first off, I got to say I'm extremely disappointed, but my frustration's really with just this team in general. I mean, ever since 2007, it just seems like they just can't win a big game when it really comes down to it. I mean, I know last year in the AFC Championship game, but I still feel they got lucky with that field goal that they missed.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what it is. I mean, all of these games, like even last week, they get down to them and they're just so dramatic and they end up losing them. I just don't understand why this team just can't win a big game. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if it's a hangover from 07 or whatever, but I don't understand.
Well, I guess I would just disagree with your characterization. And Jake, thanks for the phone call. I wouldn't say the Patriots can't win big games. You know, I don't feel that way. I understand saying that maybe they didn't win the AFC Championship game as much as Baltimore lost it. If that's how you feel about it, that's fine. That's tough to argue with. But I wouldn't say this team can't win big games. I feel like they've won big regular season games, you know, going back to last year. You know, I feel like they won big playoff games. I mean, just being able to beat Denver in the first round, I don't know how you can't call that a big game. So I don't totally agree with it. I understand they haven't ultimately reached their goal of a Super Bowl win, but I wouldn't say they haven't been able to win big games. This is disappointing, and I think this email will sum it up, because the more you see that replay, the more it's questionable whether that field goal was actually made or not. And again, it's not the reason they lost the game, but that's a tough way to go out if that thing isn't even through the uprights, which, you know, the more I look at the replay, the more I'm not sold on it. Nick writes in to webradio at patriots.com. I don't know, Adam. I just don't know. Legitimate loss would have bothered me, or wouldn't have bothered me nearly as much, but the refs deciding the game, the NFL should be embarrassed. Here's what the NFL should be embarrassed about. That the officials are injecting themselves much too much in the game. These are replacement officials that the NFL essentially wants out there. That's why they're sending out memos telling everybody being the teams and the coaches, you know, not to blast the refs publicly. And it's going to take a lot for Belichick and the Patriots to bite their tongues. And I'm imagining they're not all going to follow suit. You know, a number of players were tweeting today, questioning the officials, not necessarily from the Patriots matchup, but around the NFL, a number of players tweeting about the officials in direct response to the memo that went out earlier this week. We'll give you a smattering of a few of them. Derek Ward: the NFL definitely needs to get the real refs back ASAP because these replacement refs are horrible. D'Angelo Williams: can we get replacements for the replacements, or am I reaching? So players around the league are questioning this thing. It is just a PR nightmare for the NFL. And why? Because they want to make a few extra bucks? You know, pay the full-time referees so we can get past all the second-guessing that we're going to be going through. And look, Kevin, you say that thing was good. Like, watching it again, you think it's good, no question. You're nodding your head in there. I don't know. That really slowed down version on NBC, it's close. It's close. Not the reason the Patriots lost, but I understand your frustration. know, I go back to last week where I heaped all the blame on Steven Gostkowski because it was ultimately the losing play. But, you know, you got to focus on other parts of the game. I sort of feel similar. It's like that's what decided the game. But by that point, with the way the secondary played down the stretch and the way the offense laid an egg at the end of the fourth quarter, those are bigger issues for the New England Patriots. Let's get into your phone calls here. 508-298-0398. CA's ticket hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Keith dials us up from Dallas, Texas, and you're next up here on patriots.com. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, man. You know, I just want you to talk about the fact that Bill Belichick, the most even-keeled coach in the NFL on the sideline, he displayed emotion this entire game. And that just lets you know or speaks to the way the refs really called this game. And ultimately, we lost as a team, definitely. I mean, it was a pass interference call. McCourty should have got his head around or shouldn't have wrapped his arm around the guy. But that other drive that Flacco drove down the field with that bogus holding call down the field.
You're talking about the second-to-last drive, correct?
Yeah, the second-to-last drive.
Yep.
I mean, that's what ultimately did us in, right? I mean, you can't help a team that's playing against a suspect secondary that much. We're going to eventually fold. So I don't really blame this on the defense, and I'm not going to say our defense sucks because of this. I just think we're fighting against the refs, and we're fighting against the other teams opposing the offense. We can't win.
Well, look, Keith, I understand where you're coming from, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I want to separate them. Awful night for the referees. Awful night. Including right down to the last call, potentially. Was it a field goal? Was it not a field goal? They shot up awful quick with the it's good sign, and then they got the hell out of there as Bill Belichick was chasing them down and trying to grab one of the referees. So awful night for them. But again, I'm not going to cut the Patriots secondary that much slack. I thought McCourty in the fourth quarter was awful. Arrington was terrible all night. All night, he was getting torched. So it's a step in the wrong direction for a young Patriots defense that I was certainly feeling good about. I know a lot of you last week when I spoke to you on the postgame show were feeling good about this young Patriots defense. This is a step in the complete opposite direction. Ashley writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, I have some comments about Devin McCourty. I saw his brother Jason retweeting fans giving Devin flack for missing those two interceptions. Now, I understand that he should have caught them, but come on. He was there. Everyone has been on him about how he's dropped in his production lately. And as always, he's getting beat by his guy. I've only seen a few instances where he was beat. I saw more instances where he was on his man and made some big plays. So I think the fans need to cut him some slack. I see the progress that he made, and I feel like this is the beginning of him making a comeback. Oh, and that holding call at the end of the fourth quarter was total BS. He didn't touch the guy. And she's talking about the second-to-last drive, not the one where he clearly dragged down Jacoby Jones. I'll also add the usual comment about the refs. They're terrible, and they cost us the game. I'll flip out even more than I already am. You know, I think cost the game is too strong. It's embarrassing that you have replacement referees out there. Embarrassing. Because the NFL wants to save a few bucks. They don't want to grandfather in pension plans for their referees. So this is what you get. Because you don't want to grandfather in pension plans, this is what you get. A week, potentially, 3 or 4 days till the next game in the NFL, or the Monday night game, rather. At least a full day before you get your next game under your belt, and who knows how that thing goes with the officials tomorrow night. So at least 24 hours, if not more, of people questioning the officials. This comes on the heels of last Monday night. It's not what the league needs. They really should just cave to the Referees Association. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case, given Peter King's news from earlier in the night. That talks were broken off with no substantial progress and no further talks are scheduled. So I don't see an end to this thing, but it is a PR disaster for the NFL. That I'll grant. I'm not going to say it cost the Patriots the game. And by the way, Devin McCourty, I think, deserves all the criticism tonight. You know, maybe not through the first three quarters, but let's go back through it. Devin McCourty tonight. Awful, awful pass interference call on that last drive, just dragging down Jacoby Jones. Wasn't even competitive on that play. He had a pass interference call the previous drive as well. Now, I thought it was a garbage call, but still, it goes against him. McCourty dropped two interceptions, as Ashley referenced. One early on in the second half and one on the fourth drive of the first half. So two dropped interceptions by Devin McCourty. He also was beat on the second-to-last drive by Torrey Smith for a touchdown that brought the Ravens back within a possession, that 5-yarder to Torrey Smith. And he just gave the lamest effort on that Dennis Pitta touchdown, the 20-yarder, where he hurtled over Steve Gregory and then ran right through an arm tackle or whatever you want to call that thing by McCourty. I thought it was a bad night in general. Now, that touchdown to Pitta was really the only blemish on McCourty in the first half. You can throw in the dropped interception as well, but, you know, those things in and of themselves, they're isolated. But in the fourth quarter, there were way too many bad plays by Devin McCourty. 508-298-0398, it's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Sean in Erie, Pennsylvania. He's been waiting patiently, and he's next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, John. Sorry. Hey, Adam. How are you doing?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and be that Patriots fan who's always blaming it on the officials. But this is a touch up on the official thing. I don't really want to say that say that they gave us the game or anything like that, because the Hardball thing, we got that call. You know what I mean? All he was doing was calling timeout, and they gave him that unsportsmanlike. But I don't want to, I mean, to touch back on my name, an email or two ago, you said one of the guys sent in about the NFL should be embarrassed. I think the NFL literally should be embarrassed. So this would be a primetime game, and to see that many calls, and it looks like a peewee game out there just officiating by some guys who work at KFC. I mean, I think that is completely and utterly just embarrassing by the NFL. I mean, to sit there and watch that many linemen, like Logan Mangus all game long was into it with Haloti Ngata, and there was not one unsportsmanlike call on the Ravens.
Well, and look, and Sean, and this is a good point, because I think a lot of that's on Mankins, and he didn't get one call on him. And this is an example of what I mean by the officials. So again, I'm going to talk about the officials tonight a lot, because it is embarrassing for the NFL. I agree with you, Sean, but I don't think it's the reason the Patriots lost the game. I do think they were much too much a part of the fabric, though, and what you just cited, where every single play, seemingly, Logan Mankins deserved a 15-yard penalty for roughing up one of the guys, and the Ravens had various players as well who deserved it, and they were whistled for it at various points. But you're looking at a game where it was just much too physical, much too chippy, and that's on the referees. They didn't control it at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like they're so scared of the player. I don't want to say the players, but the coaches of making them, like, you mean, coming down on the throats. You mean they potentially get fired or anything like that. But they're so scared to call some of these calls, like the right calls. I mean, just like the McCourty thing. Like I've been a McCourty fan since he came to the league.
Uh-huh.
But I've been trying to stay off of the, like, I hate McCourty because he blows so many big plays thing. I mean, but tonight was kind of retarded. I mean, I don't want to say retarded. Just let me rephrase it. It's kind of embarrassing for him.
It was embarrassing. That's probably a better word. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, to drop them two, then two picks, I mean, that was kind of, I mean, the first one, okay, I understand. The second one, I mean, that's a little too much. But then the sit there and cost that big pass interference, it just seems like, the first game with the Gronk spot with the two penalties, and it just seems like we're costing our own self. I mean, we're costing the game, you know what I mean? Like, with the penalties at the end of being the penalty. I mean, it's the Patriots. You know what I mean? It's not like the refs. It's the Patriots' fault at the end of the day with the big penalties with no discipline. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, and Sean, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. Again, when I say the officials, I want to extract them from the final result of the game in terms of who won and lost. They were just much too much a part of the game. 24 penalties is absurd. You know, not being able to manage the two teams. There was much too much emotion. Much too chippy of a game that's on the officials. They didn't control it whatsoever, just like they didn't control the Denver-Atlanta game on Monday night. By the way, this hadn't totally crossed my radar. I knew Flacco threw for a ton of yards, 382. I knew he had the three touchdowns. I didn't realize he completed 28 of 39 passes. 28 of 39. It's almost 72%. So that's much too much. When you're talking about this secondary, how do you feel about the Patriots secondary? How do you feel about the Patriots pass rush when you barely touched Joe Flacco the entire night? The only sack the Patriots had, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going back through the notes right here, the only sack they had was negated by that questionable pass interference on Devin McCourty. That's the only one they had. It was the one where Chandler Jones and Kyle Love both got there at the same time, and it was negated. Other than that, no sacks of Joe Flacco. That's not going to cut it. And that's part of the reason they struggled in the secondary as well on the back end. 508-298-0398, CH Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, I guess you just hit on my point, the saying that, of course, if you got all these receivers running, that, I mean, I know it's tough on Devin McCourty. So, I mean, you're defending Hail Mary-like throws on the road. And I think the last one was a pass interference now, but of course, there's 1 second to the last drive that was not. But missing those key interceptions that would have ended the game, that's something that the referees didn't control. That was on mute. You have to make those type plays and end the game. But if you're throwing Hail Mary passes, I mean, it takes a good little minute to get down there at the field. You have to, I mean, the lack of pressure allows you to, you know, throw the Hail Mary long streak like passes that they threw all night. But when you're throwing those, like, long passes too, and you're letting, not really completions, when you're just letting, I mean, the Ravens knew, I feel like they knew that they could just throw the ball long and flags were going to fly. So, that was just my biggest complaint. I'm not going to, I hate to say, I really don't point fingers. First time I could point fingers at the ref, but there was, you know, I was looking, there's Ninkovich getting almost, he has arms around him, almost choking him. There's holding calls that are missing at the line, but the lack of pressure and the lack of calls around there allows him to get down the field and just launch Hail Marys and throw flags down there as well.
And Melvin, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. CA's ticket hotline. You can send in your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Melvin talked about those dropped interceptions. The Arrington one was a killer. Like, they were just showing some of the replays here on whatever we have it on, Patriots fifth quarter or whatever. And it was just, it was awful. Like, it was awful. The dropped interception by Arrington, or calling it a dropped interception actually doesn't quite do it justice. He completely fell down on the play. Like, Kyle Arrington is going back. It's just a pop fly, I think is what Collinsworth or Michaels called it on the broadcast.
Can of corn.
And he just fell down, tripped over his own 2 feet. And he was an abomination in coverage tonight. An abomination. You know, he was there on Torrey Smith for the first touchdown and just completely torched, couldn't find the ball. Arrington also had a holding penalty, burned routinely in coverage tonight. He was bad. I think McCourty popped up a little bigger on that final drive and was worse on the final drive, which is why I had him higher on the bad list, but neither of the Patriots' corners were good tonight. And by the way, guess what? Sterling Moore wasn't too hot when he was on the field as well. Gave a 37-yard completion to Torrey Smith. Also had a defensive holding penalty, which was declined on the same play. It's not like he was strong out there. 26-yarder to Jacoby Jones on the next-to-last drive. Patriots secondary struggled. How much of that is the lack of a pass rush, which we were all feeling pretty good about? That's open for debate. Flacco had way too much time, completed 72% of his passes almost, and threw for close to 400 yards. Now, is this a better indication of the Patriots' defense? They look so good those first 2 weeks. I hope not, but in their first real test, they failed pretty miserably, especially in the fourth quarter. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Joel in Atlanta. You're next up. You're on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Adam. How's everything?
Doing well.
First call of the season. I mean, we can blame the refs tonight. Obviously, of course, they're horrible. But, I mean, just like you said, you know, us not putting pressure on Joe Flacco definitely just messed us up this whole game. I mean, obviously, it just seems like the same like last year. Our secondary, you know, getting these big plays, these big penalties, these, you know, pass interferences at the end of the game, and we can't continue to do this if we're going to win big games. And we're going to, you know, beat, you know, the top teams in our division. You know, we can't do this on a weekly basis. And I don't know. It's just sad. It's sad that, you know, every week we're talking about McCourty. Every week it's McCourty. It's nothing good. This is not, you know, he's not a rookie no more. You would think that, you know, he would get over, you know, those jitters of being out there on the field. But you're a professional football player. To me, that doesn't make any sense. And you're supposed to be what, our number one defensive back? You don't play like it. And I don't know where's Rozay Dowling?
Well, he came in for like a play tonight, Joel, and that was it. He's just not on the field above Sterling Moore. I'm not even sure he's on the field above Marquise Cole. We saw Cole out there a little bit tonight. So I don't know. I mean, Rozay Dowling's just been flat beat out by Kyle Arrington. At least he was in the preseason on the depth chart. We'll see if that lasts, because Arrington really struggled tonight. I thought McCourty, again, for three quarters was fine. Not great, but fine. And he was terrible in the fourth quarter. Let's take another phone call here. Timothy is in Maine. You're next up on Patriots.com.
Hello?
Hey, Timothy.
Hey, what's going on? First time caller ever. Actually, I just found out about the website.
We appreciate it, man.
I'm a Pats fan, and the problem that I have is we're talking about refs, and believe me, I am not a fan of the refs, period. My wife can attest to that. But the fact is we got Andre Carter on free agency. We released Mark Anderson to the Bills, okay? And we got Brian Waters home on the offensive side of the ball waiting for a paycheck. I don't know how we can continuously blame refs when we got key parts of key sides of the ball sitting at home or on other teams. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, I hate refs too sometimes. They cost games sometimes. These guys are doing the best they can. I think we need to focus on the fact that the Bills, not the Bills, sorry, the Patriots,
yeah,
are shooting themselves in the foot. Why do we have Waters still at home?
Well, and that's a fair question, and Timothy, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. The answer is he wants more money. The Patriots, according to the Boston Globe earlier this week, upped their offer to Brian Waters from above the $1.5 million that he made last season, and he turned him down. So he wants to be closer to home or get paid more money or whatever it is. That's on Waters. That's not on the Patriots. I didn't have a problem with them letting Anderson go, and I don't think Carter's healthy. So if you want to ding him for Anderson, fine. I think they're fine with Chandler Jones on one end. And I'm not sure how much Mark Anderson would be playing. I guess he'd probably be your guy over Ninkovich, but remember, he was a sub-package guy last year, so I take it back. I'm not sure he would be playing over Ninkovich. So, I don't know. I really don't think tonight, per se, came down to personnel decisions. I mean, they need to figure things out on the back end. The pass rush had been better before tonight. And I still feel okay about Chandler Jones. He was the only guy getting pressure on Flacco. What little pressure they did get, he was the only guy. Nobody else was doing it. So, if anybody's been getting pressure, I feel all right about Chandler Jones. I'm not going to hit him for losing either of those defensive guys. No one else has signed Carter either. So, I can't imagine he's fully healthy. Coming off a double-digit sack season, somebody would sign him if he's healthy. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. We're obviously brought to you by Sun Life Financial. They can help you protect your financial security, whether you're in the game or sidelined with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. As Kevin Collins, our producer, points out, Bill Belichick, 110-5 in games where his team led by at least 9 points in the fourth quarter. New England, 10 penalties in this one for 83 yards. Baltimore with 14 penalties for 135 yards. Look, the officials played a huge role, but the defense let the Patriots down the stretch. And the offense is not blameless. We mentioned they went empty for a couple of possessions when they needed first downs to at least kill the clock, if not points, at the end of the game. So plenty of blame to go around for this team beyond just the officials. Speaking of which, what did Patriots head coach Bill Belichick think of the officials tonight? You'll hear from the Patriots head coach next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Have a hot take on today's game? Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Sunlight Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Adam Jones.
Tough one for the Patriots tonight. They fall to the Baltimore Ravens 31-30, as we mentioned off the top. First time the Patriots have been below 500 since 2003 when they started 0-1. You remember that season-opening loss to the Buffalo Bills when Lawyer Malloy switched sides? It's the last time they were below 500. So they sit there at 1-2 in the division. We'll take you around the AFC East coming up a little later on here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick momentarily. You'll get his thoughts on the officials and their impact on this game tonight. Remember, 24 penalties in this one. Questionable call at the end. Was the field goal good or not by Tucker from 27 yards out? I can't say definitively. I know one way or the other. It was close. I understand Patriots fans being upset about this one. And I just, again, think the officials played much too part of a role or much too big of a role in this one. Just in terms of their impact overall on the back and forth between the two sides and just the volume of penalties in this one. I don't think it's the reason the Patriots lost the game, and I just do want to reiterate. Secondary really let them down. The lack of a pass rush really let them down. Defense in general let them down tonight. You let Joe Flacco go 28 to 39 for almost 400 yards, that's a problem. And the offense, when they needed it most, and look, the offense was pretty good throughout, putting up 30 points, you'll take that most nights. But their last two drives, punt, punt. Couldn't pick up first downs, couldn't churn out enough yards, couldn't run out the clock. So that's an issue.
You're up nine,
halfway through the fourth quarter with the ball in Ravens territory, you can't put your foot on their throat.
And look, questionable play calling as well. This is one that I wrote down, and then the Patriots were bailed out by that pass interference call against Webb. But it was like there was like 2.5 minutes left, and they're freaking throwing. Remember that play? Brady's trying to throw behind Lloyd to his back shoulder, and there's 2.5 minutes left. And then the next play, it's an illegal contact on Webb. And then Brady's under siege for the rest of that drive. Nada sacks him, and then he's under pressure from Kruger on the next play. But it's just the play calling, again, was questionable tonight at the end of the game. Like, what are you throwing for? I guess trying to put the thing away. But I don't know. I thought there were some questionable calls there. Play calls, that is. Before we get to the phone calls here, 508-298-0398. Wanted to take an email from Ron to webradio@patriots.com. Adam, I know there were a bunch of blown calls in the game, but is it safe to say that Brady's not as clutch as he used to be? I mean, he's still one of the top three quarterbacks in the game, but I noticed that if it is time for him to win the game, he crumbles. I always compared Brady to Jordan, but now I have my doubts. What do you think of Brady being clutch? I think he's clutch enough. You know, is he quite the same guy that we saw at the start of his career where it seemed like every single game he came up huge and played his best with the game on the line? No, I don't know that he's quite at the level he was earlier in his career. But remember, he had some big game-winning drives last year. I remember the Dallas game here where he came back and had him win the game. So I don't think this is about Brady being clutch or not clutch. I think if the defense can get some stops on either of those last two drives, you're looking at a different outcome. And sure, the Patriots needed to churn out a few more yards, I just said, with the offense at the end of the game. But in general, I put this one more on the defense. And Brady would be way down my list of bad things. And those two drives at the end of the game would be way down my list of bad. Brady, on the night, 28-41, 335, and a touchdown. I thought he was good. Let's hit the phone calls here, 508-298-0398. Fidel is in Florida, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, man?
I'm just pissed at this defense. I mean, Hightower didn't even show up to play. Chandler Jones was being hugged by Michael Orr. The secondary kept on blowing calls and McCourty dropping picks. We could have ended the game by the second quarter if he just caught at least one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, look, he dropped two of them, and I thought Arrington's was just as egregious. And look, the secondary's been letting the Patriots down. They didn't do much to upgrade it. And I actually, believe it or not, felt okay about that. Coming into the season, I felt okay with McCourty, Arrington, Dowling, and Sterling Moore. I actually thought that was all right, and I guess they've added Dennard and theoretically Marquise Cole as well in that secondary. Who knows? Maybe we see a bit more of Dennard if he's healthy. Maybe we see a bit more of Dennard in the coming weeks. Maybe we see more of Dowling. He barely got on the field tonight, but I would say with the way Kyle Arrington played specifically, he could be dropping down a peg defensively for the Pats. I don't know that that would happen with McCourty. It certainly didn't last year until the tail end when he started seeing more time at safety. But I could maybe see Arrington dropping down a peg after a performance like tonight.
The defensive line, like Kyle Love, we have one sack, and Spikes has the flag.
Yeah.
We just didn't show up. We didn't perform as well as we did in the Titans or in the Cardinals game. I mean, if we had gotten a fumble or if we got a pick in that second half, we were to end the game. The defense needs to perform well not just in the first quarter, the second quarter, but in the third and fourth.
Yeah, and look, and Fidel, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. They came out and played excellent to start the game. Remember how the Ravens started? They went 3-and-out, interception on the first play of their second drive, 3-and-out. And then they started to find their rhythm. They scored on 3 straight drives, the last 2 of the first half and then the first 1 of the second half. Then the Patriots forced a 5-play drive defensively for a punt, and then the turnover on downs, which I thought was just a monster stop by Patrick Chung and questionable by John Harbaugh to not take the 3 points there, wound up not coming back to bite him. But I thought it was questionable by Harbaugh at the time. But, you know, then the Ravens went 8-for-92 and the 5-yard touchdown to Smith and then their game-winning field goal. So, I don't know, out of the last 7 drives of the game, the Patriots only got 2 stops, and one, it took them 4 downs after 8 plays and 46 yards. They had 1 legit defensive drive on the final 7. So that's where the problem lies for me. I would agree with the caller. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Vinny in Michigan. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Vin?
Yeah, how you doing? First-time caller in Michigan here.
The problem I have is the tight ends did not show up today. I know Hernandez is hurt. Gronk, 2 catches, 21 yards. We got Winslow with 1 catch. And I don't know if they weren't open or the Ravens took them away, but you think Gronkowski's got to show up for more than 2 for 21 if you're going to win that game.
Well, I'll tell you what. We had a poll question before the game, and I thought Gronkowski was going to be the leader in receptions, Vinny. That's what I thought, so I'm with you. I thought Gronkowski was going to be a bigger part of this offense, and it's a great point. 2 catches for Gronk. And go back another game. Like, Gronk was invisible until the fourth quarter of that last game against Arizona. That, to me, is... When I say I have problems with the play calling and the coaching these last couple of weeks, and I didn't have as much tonight, though at the end I thought some of it was questionable, but that goes back to coaching. Like, how are they not getting Gronkowski in better situations here? And how is he invisible for most of the Arizona game and all of tonight? Like, I put that somewhat on Gronkowski, somewhat on Brady. Like, those two need to figure it out. But put the guy in a position to succeed, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of that tonight. I'd agree with that point, Vinny.
And that guy's a monster. Get him the ball on some routes. Let him do some yard run after the catch. I mean, things can happen. I mean, things happen all the time with him. You throw a 5-yard route, he turns into a 20-yard gain. I mean, it's, you're not giving him the chances. I don't know what's going on with the play calling. And last comment on the refs. You know, we can complain all we want. I mean, that drive they had for 91 yards, they got bailed out a couple times, the Ravens, I thought. But you know what? What can you do? These refs are not the full-time refs. And we're going to deal with this until they can get the full-time ref.
Yeah, so, that's sort of the shame of it. And, Vinny, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You know, again, it's a greed thing from the NFL, and that's why you had to experience what you had to tonight. When I say you, Ravens fans as well. Like, that was a tough game to watch from an officiating standpoint. There were calls that went both ways against each team. You know, they had no control whatsoever. A caller earlier said this, and I agree with it. Seemed like they were intimidated by the players out there and the coaches. That is how it seems. And it's because of the greed of the league. And if anything's ever going to do this league in, whether it's because they go to 18-game regular season schedules or because they expand the game overseas or because they lock out their own freaking refs, that's what's going to do the game in. It's as popular as ever. And I don't think it's going anywhere. But if it does, that's what's going to do it in. And this is an example of that tonight. This isn't the first game. This isn't the only game throughout the league where questionable officiating or officiating in general has been much too big a part of the narrative in the postgame. Go back to the Broncos-Falcons game from earlier this week. Outside of the Manning interceptions, it's roughly all anyone was talking about. 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Hang out there on the phone lines. Do want to head to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Remember, Belichick chased down an official after this one, a 31-30 loss for the New England Patriots as Bill Belichick's team drops to 1-2 on the season.
All right, well, it was a good, good football game, tough loss. I thought both teams competed hard. You know, in the end, we just came up a little bit short tonight, so not really too much more to say than that.
You were trying to get the attention of the ref after the game. Was there a certain call or something you wanted to discuss with him?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment about that. And you saw the game. How many? What do we have? 30 penalties called in the game.
Do you think you might get fined for trying to grab the ref? We saw the replay of that.
No.
But what did they do to get their rhythm in the last 4 minutes or so of that game?
I don't know. You have to talk to them about that.
Really impressions of the way West played tonight and how involved he was in the offense.
Well, you know, I think we had a lot of guys that played hard. I watched the film. I can't watch everybody out there. A lot of guys that played hard.
Did they do anything defensively after you guys got off the quick start? I mean, what adjustments did they make toward you guys, what you were doing offensively well?
I don't know. I thought we moved the ball pretty well in the second half. But you have to ask them what adjustments I made. I have to talk to them about that.
Bill, how hard is it to manage a tempo in a game like this?
when you don't. Some of the players might feel like they don't know who's in control of the game out there. How difficult is that?
Yeah, well, we're just, it's our job just go out there and do it. Control, we can control. That's what we're going to try to work on. So, can't control anything else. You'd have to talk to those guys. Go talk to the officials about the way they call the game. Talk to the league about the way they called it. I don't know. But we just got to go out there and try to play it the best we can.
Bill, did you like what the three wide no huddle offense gave you?
Well, we thought we had a good plan of attack against the Ravens. We did a number of different things in the game. We do what we thought was best. Obviously, didn't work out quite as good as we thought it would, but there were some good things there.
4 minutes left to move the ball. Because they move the ball so well here, you have to get first down there. It's imperative to keep the offense on the field.
What else would we do in that situation? Give them the ball back? I mean,
you should move it so well. Get the feeling you had to keep the ball.
I mean, I don't really understand the question. When we're on offense, we try to move the ball. I mean, what else would we do on offense? We send the offense on the field to move the ball and score points. At the end of the game, sometimes you don't need points. You just try to move the ball and run out the clock. That's what the offense goes on the field for. Like, what else would they do?
From the sideline, could you see the last kick? Did you tell how close it was?
I couldn't see from the sideline, no. But it looked close. But again, you should talk to the people who made the calls on that, Mike. I'm just trying to coach the game.
Were you told, Bill, if that field goal was reviewed or not at the end?
Well, that's not our call.
Right.
It's,
I mean,
in 2 minutes.
Obviously, it was reviewed, but...
So you should talk to the officials and talk to those people and ask them those questions, because obviously I don't have the answer to it. I'm just coaching the game. I'm watching like you are. So you should ask them those questions. I can't answer them.
Bill, it seemed like you guys defensively did a nice job in the middle of the field. You did that bold and those guys. Did you guys kind of have your struggles on the outside again?
I don't know. I mean, there were plays that were good inside, some not so good. There were plays that were good outside, some not so good. So, I don't know. And in the end, it wasn't really good enough. So, I'll have to work to try to do a better job.
All right, so just summarizing Belichick here. Doesn't have a lot of thoughts on the officials, but you can tell how he feels about them right there. You've heard enough Bill Belichick press conferences where you know how he feels. Without actually saying the words, the feeling is conveyed there, and he's upset with the officials. And honestly, I think both coaches and just about all 53 players in either locker room are upset with the officials tonight. So I don't think Belichick is alone in that regard. He was also asked point blank, do you think he's going to be fined, or does he think he's going to be fined? And he said no. So we'll see. He grabbed an official after the game. He's Belichick, you know, who has had some head-scratching behavior before in post-game, I guess, interactions with other coaches, and in this case, officials. So we'll see if that gets held against him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fined. He certainly doesn't think so. And, you know, you could hear his general disdain. By the way, speaking of disdain, how about this one from Brandon Spikes? And a few different people have retweeted it, and I'm just going to the Brandon Spikes Twitter account, at Brandon Spikes 55. Can someone please tell these effing zebras Foot Locker called and they're needed back at work? Hashtag breaking point. That was 3 minutes after he tweeted grrr with about, I don't know, 30 R's. So, you know, everybody's frustrated with the officials. I would just say I don't think the calls only went against the Patriots. I do think they went both ways. And that missed field goal at the end, or made field goal, or whichever way you want to look at it, it was certainly close at the end. Officials totally lost control. Watching the highlight shows here, it's just constantly showing players shoving one another. So they lost control of this game. It's more about the defense not being able to hold things down, especially in the second half after they were granted a 13-point lead early on. But the officials are going to be a part of this narrative. It's unfortunate. By the way, Lucas writes in to Web Radio at Patriots.com. This is a call I have neglected to talk about. It was early in the game. But, Kevin, I know this is something that we both questioned at the time. He writes in, Adam, look into your notes. Please shed some light on the Mayo illegal contact call. That was the call that got Bill all fired up, and it certainly was one of those WTF moments. The down and distance was shorter than 5 yards, and Mayo made the play a few yards before the sticks. So how can that be illegal contact? What happened? The refs were ridiculous. The NFL should be embarrassed. The stadium crowd was chanting BS on an internationally televised game I watched in Brazil, and it was one of those, wow, it has come to this moments. Pathetic. In other news, I still think this is a 12-win team. Go Pats. I thought they were going to win the game tonight. I thought they were like no-brainer locks for 13 wins coming into the season. Now I'm second-guessing that a bit. But the Mayo call, unless I'm skipping another one, Kevin, the Mayo call he's referencing was fourth drive where the Patriots had already had, they'd already forced 2 3-and-outs and a pick on the first three drives. And the Mayo, I jotted down pass interference. Perhaps it was illegal contact. It extended that drive, and that's where the Ravens had their first touchdown. I believe that's the call he's referencing, and that was something we certainly didn't see when we were watching the game upstairs.
They didn't show it
in halftime. Well, when we watched it live, they did not show a replay. You're right. But when we watched it live, it seemed like it was pretty clean.
Yep.
And he stopped him short of the sticks, as the emailer Lucas points out. You know, I had it jotted down that Flacco forces a ball into Ray Rice, and Mayo had the stop on third down, short of the sticks on a 3rd and 5. So I saw it the same way, and I just think these officials are in over their heads. It's nothing new. It's just Patriots fans are seeing that up close and personal now after this thing tonight. Let's go to the phones. Lottie waiting patiently here. Let's go to Robin in Florida. You're next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's up, Robin?
Hey, Adam. Hey, listen, I'm just so angry. First of all, I think we're going to run the table after tonight. But second of all, you know, Brady, I'm sorry, but he has had the lead and the ball I don't know how many times in the last 3 or 4 games. You got to close it out. He's Tom Brady.
Well, and look, okay? That part I agree with, Robin. Like, the offense has to churn out more clock. I think the play calling is somewhat suspect there, but again, if they complete the passes, then maybe I wouldn't be harping on it that way.
When you have the lead and you have the ball, game over. You are Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And second of all, I miss Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry. I love Bill O'Brien.
Well, here's what I'll say, Robin.
I love Bill O'Brien.
Here's what I'll say, Robin, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I don't think he's making a larger commentary on the Brady as clutch thing. Maybe he is. Perhaps he is. I know another emailer was. Look, he's right. The offense needs to execute at the end of the games. I think McDaniels will ultimately be fine. But this is something I questioned in the offseason, and it's something I referenced on the postgame show last week. You know, in the offseason, I got all these dirty looks and was called an idiot and a moron for questioning, you know, whether or not Josh McDaniels would be able to reintegrate himself into this type of offense, this too tight end or tight end dominated offense. And I don't know, he hasn't really been able to integrate Rob Gronkowski, who I think is his biggest weapon, hasn't really been able to do it now in 2 games. He was invisible for most of the fourth quarter, or until the fourth quarter rather, against Arizona last week. He had 2 catches tonight. So I don't know. I just think it might take some time for McDaniels to get his footing here with a more tight end oriented offense than a wide receiver oriented offense. And that's sort of my belief there. I think he'll figure it out. He's a bright guy. He's done it before here in New England. And don't forget, Bill O'Brien wasn't all, you know, sunshine and roses when he was here either. You know, certainly things ended pretty well, with last season really being the culmination of it, but he was second guessed an awful lot his first couple of seasons. So I would just say it took some time with Bill O'Brien as well. It's going to take some time for Josh McDaniels to get reintegrated. But the early returns have not been good. I think that's hard to ignore. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Marcus in Washington, D.C. You're next up here on Patriots.com. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm probably like the lone fan here, the only 12% in D.C., but it's all right. But I'm a good Patriots fan. I follow them all the time.
Yeah.
But I need to say that, you know, how long has Arrington been doing this? You know, I mean, he's been out of coverage. He's always out of place, you know. I mean, against Robinson. I mean, come on. Look at it last year in the Super Bowl. You know, let's think about it. Have we really, really, really did our background on this guy? And does he deserve to be a starter? I mean, has he really had any competition in training camp? I haven't seen it.
Well, you know, I mean, the competition would be theoretically Rozai Dowling, but no, that hasn't been real competition, at least as the coaching staff sees it. He was hurt last year, and he's been just flat-out beat out by Arrington and Moore.
But this is the thing. When we always had somebody plugged in. I mean, think about it. With the Asante Samuel era, he wasn't always flashy when he came in. But when he was with the Patriots, he stood out. You know, and now what is he? Like, is at his 13? I mean, let's think about this. Really, has Arrington been able to step up in games where it has been most important? I haven't seen it. He's been getting boosted every time.
Yeah, he had a real rough night tonight, Marcus. It's a good point. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. He was, I think, on balance, the worst of the two corners tonight between he and McCourty. Like, at least McCourty made some plays out there, but McCourty was worse when it mattered more. Like, in the fourth quarter, that's when McCourty played his worst. So, I think on balance, Arrington was just bad all night. McCourty was just worse in the fourth quarter. And he really got picked on in the fourth quarter, culminating with that pass interference on Jacoby Jones, which set up the Ravens' game-winning field goal. It's hard to do much worse than that. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you there. You already heard from the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, following the Pats' disappointing 31-30 loss to the Baltimore Ravens down in Baltimore. You'll hear from the Patriots quarterback next here on patriots.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield. Catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Second and final hour of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones with you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to about 2 o'clock Eastern time. You can get in touch, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. Taking your thoughts, a lot of vitriol for the refs after this loss for the Patriots, 31-30 to the Baltimore Ravens, dropping New England to 1-2, which has them down at the bottom of the division with the Miami Dolphins, a game behind the New York Jets and behind the Buffalo Bills. We'll take you around the AFCs coming up here in about 25 minutes here on the Patriots postgame show. Plenty of you hanging out on the phones. We'll get to you in a second. Did want to work through some of these emails. Anders writes in from Norway to webradio@patriots.com. Guys, some of the decisions were downright horrible. What was so annoying to me is the way the secondary just misses their covers and lets the receivers gain so much space. And that Colin McCourty before Smith's second touchdown was never holding. I somehow feel cheated, guys. Am I overreacting, or is there something to it? Again, I think cheated to me is a little too strong. Like, cheated to me makes it seem like these refs, these officials were anti-Patriots. I don't feel that way. I think they miss calls both ways. I think both head coaches are ticked at these officials, and rightfully so. You know, both could make their case. You know, Belichick obviously was running on the field trying to grab one of them after the game. And Harbaugh was whistled for an unsportsmanlike penalty when he was trying to call a timeout. So I don't think it was any better or worse for either side. I just think the officials were atrocious tonight. I don't feel like it favored either team. It obviously impacted the game. It was out of control in terms of temperament for both these teams. Logan Mankins was constantly in the middle of things, roughing people up. Didn't get flagged once, at least by my notes. Perhaps I missed one in there. But it was an embarrassing night by the officials. And it comes less than a week after an embarrassment last Monday night in the Broncos-Falcons game. And I thought this one was quite similar. So, I don't know. I that's sort of how I feel about it. Did the Patriots get cheated? No. And his thoughts on the secondary, I agree with. I wanted to read this other email here before we get to the phone calls from Tony, writing into webradio, patriots.com. Adam, good game overall. It's an interesting way of putting it. The defense held up good enough. I thought McCourty should have had a couple of interceptions, but he just dropped them. It's funny. He can't make the good plays, but always seems to make the bad ones. The referees had some horrible calls, as they should have, but we should have won. But we should have had that win, excuse me. Offensive production was good, but they couldn't stay on the field when necessary. We should have had a win. What do you think went wrong? I just disagree with your characterization of the defense. That's how I feel about it. You know, McCourty was awful, I thought, at the end of that game. And you're right. I mean, at least he was in a position to make plays. I guess that's where he's coming from, but he didn't make them. So, I don't know. Coming off a year where McCourty's confidence seemed shot, I don't think tonight was a step in the right direction. Let's get to some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. Mike's in New Jersey. You're next up. You're on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
Hi. I'm from Jersey, and I know I'm going to get a lot of stuff from the Giants and Jets fans tomorrow. But overall, I'm actually not really mad at how the Pats played. I mean, the defense was a little bad, compared to the last 2 weeks, but the offense seemed to reassure me a little bit. And honestly, if it wasn't for these awful, huge calls by the refs, I think we would have won. And, I mean, the Ravens might have had more calls against them, but the Pats had bigger calls against them, which was pretty vital in the end. And at that Joe Flacco's last pass, I just knew that was going to be a call. Because, I mean, I don't think it was an actual penalty, but just the way the refs were calling it so far, you could tell that they were going to throw a flag. And, of course, they did.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Mike, thanks for the phone call, and sorry to hear you're going to be down there in Giants and Jets territory after this one. But thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I thought the officials missed things both ways. That's, again, sort of how I feel about it. And I feel differently about the defense than you do. Last week, I think you could be encouraged by the defense and encouraged by the game somewhat, even though the Patriots lost to the Cardinals. I understood some Patriots fans seeing the silver lining. Hernandez goes down. Welker was something that a lot of fans were upset about, but at least you could feel good about the defense last week. You can't do that anymore. You can't feel good about the defense the way we saw things today, especially the secondary. Blake writes in to Web Radio, Patriots.com. Adam, how's that final field goal not reviewable? Isn't every scoring play automatically reviewed? Is the league picking and choosing which are and aren't now? And again, that's Blake writing in. I'll just refer you to Mike Pereira, former vice president of officiating in the NFL, current rules analyst at Fox Sports. He tweeted out the following. A field goal that goes over the top of an upright is not reviewable because you cannot determine when exactly the ball is directly over the pole. So that's the rule. I can't tell you good or not, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was good. And that was Pereira's tweet from earlier tonight. Now, there are some rumors out there on the Twitter sphere that we can't confirm that NBC had different angles of that kick. Apparently, they had cameras on the goalposts tonight, but they don't have any footage of that, or they haven't released any footage of that, which could give us a better look, something to think about. But that's unsubstantiated at the moment. 508-298-0398. Let's go to Scott in Florida. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
First, real quick, what I was wanting to comment on earlier, you mentioned something about a caller said something about Gronk and his yardage not being there, only two catches. I think that was really due to them having to use him as a blocker a lot of the time because the Ravens' rush was just way too much for them to handle with just their normal setup. But that was real quick on that. And then the main thing I wanted to call about was something that's frustrating me. The law last season and this season is that if you go back to the years when the Patriots were their dynasty was starting, something we did really well was adapt to the offenses we are playing, and I don't see that happening anymore. We have these plays that are done 10 times against us. Tonight I think we had the same play to run against us deep 4 or 5 times, and we didn't adapt to it on the secondary. And they ran Ray Rice around the east side in the middle about 20 times and got about 5 to 6 yards every time. It's frustrating that we're not adapting the way we used to.
Yeah, and look, I would say that on offense as well. And Scott, thanks for the phone call. And maybe this week defense is a better example of the coaching, not making adjustments. But I thought it was that way on offense last week. Hernandez goes down and there's nothing. There were no adjustments by the coaching staff, whether it's just McDaniels or whether it's Belichick. I mean, whoever you want to blame, I just put the blanket over it as coaching last week. Where were the adjustments? And it's a good point. Where were the adjustments defensively tonight for the Patriots? They seem non-existent. On the Gronkowski thought, because I meant to get to this earlier, and I didn't get it out. I understand Gronkowski's a good blocker, and you want him in to help with some of the offensive line issues you've had. But what's Daniel Fells here for? Like, I thought he was supposed to be a blocker. So now that Hernandez is down, why wouldn't you be a little more creative with Gronkowski? Like, why is he just staying in as a blocker? If that's indeed what he's doing. And I guess I'd have to go back and watch the game a little closer. But I agree with the caller. That's what it seems like. It seems like Gronkowski is staying in the block. So what's Fells here for? What's O'o Manamanui here for? Like, maybe you could try Gronkowski a bit more in that Hernandez role and move him around a little bit more to try and create some mismatches. Like, that's what I'd be doing if I were the Patriots. You have four tight ends active. They went with mostly three wide receiver sets. And Edelman was still playing more than Welker early in this game before he left with a hand injury. But it seems like the Patriots for now are favoring those three wide receiver sets, and Gronkowski's your tight end. And I don't know, maybe I'd try more two tight end sets, especially with four active tight ends. And maybe I'd have Fells be the inline guy. I'd have Fells be the blocker and have Gronkowski going out into routes. That's sort of how I look at it. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio at patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you there. Hang out. But we do want to head to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who actually is one of the few Patriots who I thought played pretty well, though at the end needed a little bit more out of the offense. 335 yards passing for Brady and a touchdown. He actually passed his boyhood idol, Joe Montana, for 12th on the all-time passing list. This is the Patriots quarterback following their 31-30 loss in Baltimore. We'll get you that audio here momentarily. Tom Brady at the podium following the loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, you're saying it froze. I thought you just weren't listening.
This NFL season, now you can just watch the...
It's the kind of night it's been.
Well, we'll circle back to that. It's late, about 1:15 East Coast time. Let's hit another phone call here. Let's go to Alex in Connecticut. You're next up on the postgame show. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, there's a couple of things on it. This is opinion about the last couple of weeks. I mean, this has been really bothering me. I really don't understand the deal with the little draws, the little, you know what I mean, the underneath routes. I mean, I'm not really understanding it. I went to NFL.com and tried to, see what the average was, and I got Woodhead for 2.2 yards a carry. I got Ridley for 2.8. I mean, I just don't understand that. Whenever Brady got that, it wasn't Brady getting sacked. That was Edelman got stopped with that big loss, and they called a draw on like a 3rd and 27. I mean, why not just like even just do an underneath route to walk or something, just to put the Ravens back even farther or something. You know what I mean? We got Zoltan Mesko. I mean, I just really don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I understand the point, Alex, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I've heard a lot of criticism of the draws and a lot of criticism of Woodhead playing in general, but you know what? Like, I was going to tweet this at a certain point at the end of the game, and it's just a lot was going on. I just didn't get it out. But you know what happened when Ridley was out there on the final drive instead of Woodhead? He dropped the pass when he swung out into the flat. And, like, I don't know, I just think Woodhead would have caught that thing. So I understand fans having an issue with how much Woodhead played tonight, but the Patriots were in that up-tempo offense, that three-wide offense. And maybe you can question whether or not they should have been in that offense, but if they're in it, I think Woodhead's a better fit. Like, I think the coaching staff is right with that. You know, I don't want to see Ridley out there in passing situations and up-tempo situations necessarily. I think he showed on that final drive, not that he's a liability, but just, I think Woodhead is superior in those situations. So question why they're in three wide and up tempo if you want. But that's why Woodhead's out there. And maybe there's been a few too many draws. I understand that. And there was another one of those bad, bad plays where they almost tried it was a direct snap to Woodhead. And then it was a reverse. I believe it was going to be for Edelman. It was Edelman. He was just totally stacked up. Fifth drive of the first half for the Pats. Direct snap.
Courtney Upshaw blew it
up. To Woodhead. And then the reverse to Edelman, and you're right, it was Upshaw who blew it up for a 13-yard loss. So I understand Patriots fans having some issues with that. I think it's being a little overstated, the Woodhead playing time thing, but he's certainly not alone with that feeling. Now, let's head to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his club's 31-30 loss in Baltimore.
Well, in that first half, what happened between there and the time when you started going back into it offensively for you guys?
Well, we just didn't move the ball consistently enough to score points, score touchdowns. You know, they're good defense. You know, they play well at home, and just didn't really take advantage of our opportunities.
How was West tonight for you, Matt? You know, like he was the old West.
Yeah, he made plenty of plays out there for us. He's a big part of our offense. You know, it's just a matter of continuing to find ways to get him the ball and to continue to spread it around to all the different guys. I mean, a lot of guys contributed.
24 accepted penalties in the game. What were your thoughts on just that aspect of the game and how it affected the flow of the game?
I don't have any control over that, so I just try to do my job.
Tom, you guys practiced 4-minute offense in the time training camp. Is it frustrating to not be able to finish off the game there?
Yeah. Certainly, it's situational football that we talk about, 2-minute, 4-minute. 2-minute was good before the end of the half. You know, 4-minute, we got a chance to win it, and just don't play well when we need to. And we didn't, certainly, you know, we got to play our best when it means the most, and we got to start winning close games.
Do you feel comfortable with the no huddle? It seemed like that was really working for you guys mostly.
Yeah. I thought it put a lot of pressure on those guys. You know, I mean, I don't think they, you know, really fooled us very much with their different looks or, you know, they just, you know, played well when they needed to, especially in the red area. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
A couple of things there from Brady. First one, he's right about the red area, by the way. Patriots, 3 of 5 in the red zone in terms of touchdowns. So they left some points out on the field. And that's one thing Brady's always consistent about, whether it's at the post-game podium or doing his weekly radio hits or whatever it is. He's consistent in that. You know, when they leave points in the red zone, that's something he's frustrated with, and it's something that I hadn't really touched on a ton, but the Patriots probably did leave some points out there, certainly left some points out there. He also didn't bite on the question about the officials, and we already read you the tweet from Brandon Spikes. Somebody get these effing zebras back to Foot Locker. Kyle Love, I got so much crap I want to say right now, but I'm going to be quiet. He just tweeted that out, at KyleLove74. So, look, I'm not monitoring the Ravens side. I think if the Ravens lost, we'd be seeing a few more tweets about the Ravens questioning these officials tonight. And I think John Harbaugh has every right to be ticked off at the officials, just like Bill Belichick has the right to be ticked off at the officials. You know, again, Harbaugh, just in case you forgot, Harbaugh was flagged for an unsportsmanlike penalty when he was calling to, or trying to call a timeout, rather. So, I mean, these guys were just beyond awful tonight, these guys being the replacement officials. And I don't think it's the reason the Patriots lost. I just think you have to talk about it with how bad it was tonight. Let's check another email here before we get back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Raphael writes into WebRadio at Patriots.com. Adam, we all know there were tons of questionable calls on both teams. We also know that the final field goal may or may not have been good. And I just saw another replay of it, by the way. I really can't tell. You can't tell. We're frustrated, continues Raphael, with some of this aspect of the game, whether it be play calling, officials, execution, etc. But in the end, we lost. We have to move on to next week. I just wanted to thank you for doing the post-game show after good games and bad ones, for staying late into the night and keeping fans informed and giving us an opportunity to vent or celebrate. Well, we appreciate you writing in, Raphael. And Kevin, you'll be happy to know, Raphael also says, P.S., thanks for all the work you do as well, Kevin. So nice email there from Raphael. I didn't expect a ton of those tonight, by the way. I don't expect nice emails after games like that. So it's appreciated, but we'll continue to get back to the spewing hate we've been dealing with tonight, specifically for the officials and a little bit for this defense. And quite frankly, I'm not sure we've heard enough about that throughout the course of the night. I think both your corners tonight, McCourty and Arrington, were bad, particularly McCourty in the fourth quarter. Let's go to Jordan in Albany, New York. He's been waiting patiently on the Ace Ticket Hotline, and he's next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Doing well.
You know, first, I have, like, three things.
Sure.
You know, first, I mean, you want to be really mad at McCourty for wrapping his arm around him like that. It was just a silly play, but overall, the defense. You know, aren't we, as Patriots fans, sick of being burned in big games at the end? I mean, Flacco just marched down the field like it was nothing. Like, that can't be happening. And also, the new receiver, Brandon Lloyd.
Yep.
That is as a positive, that he is a great pickup. There's no denying, if we want to talk about positives, Brandon Lloyd is great.
Well, and Jordan, I had him on my good list here tonight, and I thought this was his best performance. He was over 100 yards. Still, he and Brady, there's something off about those deep bombs, which is why I thought Lloyd was here. But you know, working along the sideline, working some of those underneath routes, and even the bubble screens tonight. Those were a little more successful than we had seen in the past. This was his best game. I agree with that, Jordan, though. You still would like to see him and Brady get things sorted out on some of those deep throws.
And do you think it was more of Flacco being great tonight or our defense just being awful?
Oh, I think it was the defense being awful. And I say that unequivocally. And thanks for the phone call, Jordan, 508-298-0398. I don't want to take credit away from Flacco because I do think he played well. But how many interceptions did the Patriots drop? McCourty had two. Arrington fell down when a ball was basically thrown right to him. The Patriots had plays to make, and they made one. The Gregory interception was an awful throw by Flacco. It was overthrowing his receiver. I think it was Pitta down the seam, and Gregory just stepped up and picked off a ball that was thrown right to him. So, look, Flacco only had 11 incompletions tonight. I think he played well. But that Patriots defense, specifically those two corners, were awful. You know, how many plays was Flacco bailed out on with pass interferences as well? Or illegal contact? So, again, I don't think Flacco played poorly. I just think, especially when you're looking at it from this point of view, the defense was not good at the end of the game. There's no other way I'd put it. You know, I don't know how many pinpoint throws into coverage he had to make. You know, I can think of one at the end of the game where, you know, he really had to stick in a throw down the sidelines. It was to Pitta, and it was Tavon Wilson and Kyle Arrington in coverage right down the sideline. It was the play right before Arrington fell down. Other than that, I don't have many throws where he had to really stick one in there, and that play was reminiscent of the Manningham play in the Super Bowl. You know, other than that, I don't know how many throws weren't wide open or plays weren't dropped by the Patriots. And Flacco made them. He deserves credit. But, you know, I didn't think the Patriots' corners were competitive for much of that fourth quarter and really much of the game. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Wanted to hit on this one. Keith writes in there, Adam, you're absolutely wrong. The play where Ridley dropped the ball was going to be for a loss. There were two Ravens closing in on him unblocked. Now, I didn't see it that way. I thought there was room to go, but that's fine. Let's say it was going to go for a loss. He continues, do you not remember Woodhead being targeted last year and tip balls for interceptions? He's crap, and Ridley's a beast. The committee running back approach does not work. I'm not saying that Woodhead, you know, should be getting more playing time than Ridley in a vacuum, but if the Patriots are going to be going up-tempo and three wide and throwing the football a lot, I feel more comfortable with Woodhead coming out of the backfield than Ridley, you know, receiving. That's how I feel about it, and maybe I am wrong about it. I think Vereen would be better in that role if he could ever get on the field. That's what I thought he was going to be, like a shifty kind of pass catcher for the Patriots this year. Maybe Jeff Demps could have been that guy if he wasn't on IR. But after that, I don't know. I sort of think Woodhead is that Kevin Faulk-type role player for you. And he's not as good as Faulk, but I think he sort of fills that same role. And I don't really want Ridley out there in those situations. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's take one more email here by Jay writing in. Adam, loved the show. The offense did what it needed to do tonight. It was the defense that didn't do well. Devin McCourty could have won us the game. Defense beat themselves. I'm upset, but not as much. Torrey Smith deserved to win after that unbearable loss. And, you know, we haven't talked about that a ton tonight. Torrey Smith with two touchdowns, less than 24 hours after he learns of the death of his brother in a motorcycle accident. Which was an inspiring and impressive story tonight by Torrey Smith, and it's something I haven't talked about a lot on this post-game show. We'll learn from this loss and continue the road to the Super Bowl, writes Jay. Keep up the good work. Go Pats. I agree. I mean, the secondary just was a complete letdown. And in the fourth quarter, McCourty was awful. I think Arrington was just bad all night. McCourty was worse at a worse time, but Arrington was bad all night. Let's go to Sean in Florida. He's next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, Sean.
Hey, fellas, I'm going to console myself with a couple of really good hamburgers that I'm cooking right now.
That's the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it. Drown your sorrows in a, you know, in a few burgers. I like it.
Nicely seasoned, you know, for the rest of the season, hopefully. honestly, when it gets down to it, I think that people do lose touch that, you know, these guys are all human beings. And when you get injured the way that Gronk did in that AFC Championship game, no matter how much great treatment he's gotten and everything else, there's still, I'm telling you right now, there's still tendernesses in those places. There's still places where he'll try to, you know, burst off in a certain direction where he's not going to get quite exactly the explosive pop. These guys aren't like everybody else. These guys are incredibly talented. They have something special about their bursts, unlike you and me and all these other guys. But you lose that little special thing when you're still not quite up to speed. All that being said, no matter whether Gronk is like a half step slow and still mostly dominant over everybody else out there, you still got to take into consideration, when are we going to finally look at Brady and just say, he may be a top five quarterback, might even be a top three quarterback, but is he truly Tom Terrific anymore? Has he been resting on his laurels since 2005? I mean, really, when was the last time that we saw our buddy go out there in a really big game or a meaningful game, even though it's week two or three anyways, it's still a big game where he's marched the team down in 4 minutes, been able to either A, drain the clock, or B, win the game. He hasn't done it since like 05.
No. Sean, I referenced this game earlier during the postgame show. The one that sticks out in my head, and there may have been others last year, but the one that sticks out in my head from last year was the Dallas game. He threw a game-winning touchdown to Aaron Hernandez with like less than a minute left. So,
yeah, but it wasn't a huge game. It wasn't like a huge, and I know that this game.
I don't know. I mean, I was here for that. And look, I mean, I just think if you're going to count this one as a huge game, week three of the regular season, I would count that Dallas one as a pretty big one at the time.
The only positive I really take from this game, honestly, is that it gives us that little tiny bit of an angry, we got to get them back kind of edge in the playoffs when we're right up against it. If we feel like it's the last quarter, we're both fighting it out, maybe we'll be able to pull off what they pulled off. But the truth is, for a long time, I've been seeing more interceptions and more of him walking with his head down and the helmet pulled down a little bit too close to his chin and all that kind of stuff at the end of a lot of games, starting all the way back against Champ Bailey in that game in the playoffs. Next year in 06, next year in 07, the same thing. Sometimes he just needs to get the clock run out, like Drew did in that AFC Championship game. I'm not saying that Drew was awesome or better. I'm just saying that sometimes you just got to run the clock out.
Yeah,
4 minutes.
And Sean, and thanks for the phone call, man. 508-298-0398. And enjoy those hamburgers, rather, by all means. I think it's fair to say that he's not the same guy he was early in his career. Like, when the Patriots were winning Super Bowls, is he quite as clutch as that? Probably not. But I can remember a game late last year where he had the Patriots come back and win. And it was that Dallas game, you know, 20-16 win over Dallas here. It was right before the bye week. And I'm trying to pull up when that touchdown was, but it was right at the end of the game to Aaron Hernandez.
16 seconds left.
I got it right. I have 22 seconds. Patriots fell behind with 5 minutes left, 16-13. And Brady led them right down the field with 22 seconds left with an 8-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Hernandez.
He also led them down the field and scored in the Giants game with about a minute and a half left to Gronkowski on 4th and 10. And the defense blew the game to with that Ballard play.
And that was a couple of weeks later in the regular season. That Dallas one is just one that sticks out in my head. Like I said, I'm sure there are other examples. That's one that sticks out in my head. By the way, here's a staggering tweet from Mike Giardi, and I just double-checked these numbers. Patriots defense, no sacks, one tackle for loss, in addition to 503 yards allowed and 28 first downs. That is it's a bad night for your defense, and that's after they were pretty promising through the first 2 weeks. Let's go to Bob in Florida. You're next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Bob.
Hello?
Hey.
Oh, I wasn't sure you had me. Thanks for having me, Adam. I'd like to make two or three quick points, and I got to start off by really disagreeing with you about the bad call against Harbaugh. And the reason why I say that is I think he blew his cool because the play before he got flagged, we were the benefactor of that. Pass interference where...
Yeah, it was the web pass interference where it negated an interception.
Which was a totally good call. The guy was held in the first 5 yards, and he was held in the second 5 yards right as he was trying to catch the ball. It was an easy call. I think Harbaugh thought the game was going to be over because we needed one more first down. And if you read his lips, and, you know, believe me, I thought the referee should have flagged them right there, even though they don't often do that. I couldn't believe what he was telling them.
Yeah, I mean, Bob, I don't know. I've read Bill Belichick's lips before, and it hasn't been pretty. So I don't. That's just so unprecedented to see a head coach, flag for unsportsmanlike conduct. I'm sure it's happened before, but I got nothing off the top of my head. And trust me, I have read plenty of coaches' lips before in this league, and I've not seen anything like that, especially with 2.5 minutes left in a game. That was silly with that flag going against John Harbaugh. And again, I think other calls went against the Ravens tonight as well. They had more penalties against them than the Patriots did. But, you know, that one would particularly get my goat if I'm John Harbaugh. And by the way, just to follow up on that point by Bob, I was with Harbaugh. I thought the game was over there, too. You know, once the Patriots got the first down after the illegal contact or whatever it was on Webb at the end of the game, I thought it was over, too. And that's where the play calling came into it a bit for me and some questionable decision-making by Brady in the offense. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. The Patriots fall to 1-2 with a 31-30 loss to the Baltimore Ravens tonight. How do they stack up against the rest of the AFC East? We take you around the division next here on patriots.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
...27-yard field goal attempt coming for the Ravens to win it. As I said, unless there's a bad snap or a block or some kind of a penalty. Set to go. Cook to hold. Got the snap. Ball down. The kick is up. The kick is good. And the game is over. And the Patriots lose by a point.
That's Gil Santos on the Patriots Radio Network as the Patriots fall to the Baltimore Ravens 31-30 and drop to 1-2 on the season. It's Patriots postgame show. We're presented by Sun Life Financial, which can help you protect your financial security whether you're in the game or sideline with an illness or injury. Talk to your employer about Sun Life benefits or visit sunlifeknowsbenefits.com to learn more. Get the benefit. Get to know Sun Life. Before we get to your phone calls here, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio at patriots.com. Just checking a tweet here at Adam Jones, ESPN. And feel free to tweet me, by the way. Steve tweets at me, I'm getting a bit fed up with your blame the Patriots attitude. Even Collinsworth was blaming the refs. Hashtag bring back Rook, PPGS. you know, I'm not saying the refs were good by any means. I just think they were equally bad. You know, and I don't think the refs are why the Patriots lost. I just think that's such a defeatist attitude to say the Patriots lost because of the refs. The refs sucked. They were awful. And it's embarrassing that the league continues to do this, not just in this game, but others as well. And by the way, I'm not one of these people who's just come out and said this. I said this all preseason. I said this after week one. Remember the commentary nationally after week one was, well, the refs actually did okay. It wasn't that bad. And officials were going to miss calls no matter what. I promise you, I was not one of those guys on national programs or here on Patriots.com. I was not one of those guys. I've been hammering the officials since the preseason, the replacement officials, and more specifically, the league for putting themselves in this spot. So I'm not one of these Johnny-come-latelys, and I hear a ton of those now. Because after week one, there wasn't a lot of those nationally. It was a lot of, well, refs miss calls either way. And what did you expect out of these replacement officials? Well, I expect the league to step up and pay these guys. You know, that's what I expect. The $9 billion a year industry. That's what I expect. But that's different than me saying the Patriots lost because of the officials. I don't feel that way. You know, you think the Patriots lost because of the officials, or you think they lost because Kyle Arrington couldn't cover anyone tonight? You think they lost because of the officials, or you think they lost because, you know, Devin McCourty dragged down Jacoby Jones at the end of the game and put the Ravens in field goal range? You know, I don't know. Call me crazy. Those to me are bigger issues than the refs tonight. And, oh, by the way, the offense doesn't get off scot-free either. You know, they couldn't pick up yards at the end of the game when the Patriots needed it most. They couldn't get off the field. So I just separate the two. The officials were awful. Collinsworth is right saying the officials were terrible. He's right about that. But I didn't hear him say that the Patriots lost the game because of the officials. I didn't hear that. And, you know, I just think that's being disingenuous by Steve. Let's hit the phone calls. 508-298-0398. That's where Tom dials us up from Michigan. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Not much, man. How are you?
How are you?
I kind of just got like a little sub question to the
sure.
callers that called before me, then I got my question. The sub question is the guys were sitting there ragging on Tom Brady, like saying that he's not clutch anymore. But like a few, I mean, the last like three calls was New York, New Jersey, and my Florida. So I mean, that's enough said right there. So coming back to the questions, they were saying how he's not Tom Surfing anymore. Last year was the game with Dallas. What do you call that? I mean, this ain't a big time game. This is a playoff game. They were both regular season games. The game of Washington, like, it's a big, I mean, it wasn't like a clutch drive, but he had big plays in that game that kept us by a touchdown. Like, it's like, to me, if you're going to blame anybody, blame Bill Belichick for not coming up with a better defensive coordinator than his linebackers coach, who apparently can't do anything besides keep the same players. But when it comes to my question, though, I haven't heard no one talk about yet tonight, is Belichick had all three timeouts in the game. Why didn't he call timeout, like, whenever they're on the clock and he didn't call, I mean, he didn't buy the last game. I tell you that you never give up. You know, he brings flex fumble in the game. Like, you mean you got all three timeouts? Don't ice the kicker. And if you're going to do ice the kicker, you still got all three timeouts. You still got two timeouts left. Give yourself a chance to get the ball. I mean, you never know. The miracle in Tennessee 2 today. Like, you never know. You know what I mean? I really don't understand why he let the time go down.
Well,
27 chip shot.
It's a fair criticism. It's a fair criticism. Like, why leave the game with timeouts in your pocket? And he did call one to ice him at the end. But you're right. I mean, at one point, he had three timeouts at the end of the game when, you know, it's basically out of reach. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I don't know. I mean, maybe Bill Belichick just thought, hey, it's a rookie kicker, and we'll see if he misses a kick here. You know, Cundiff missed one last year. This guy's got the first pressure kick, real pressure kick of his career, even though he'd kicked well to this point. I don't know. I mean, at some point, it's avoiding the inevitable, you know. And maybe he just wanted to have the kid go out there and kick in a pressure situation. And I understand that to an extent. Like, on a 27-yard field goal, once you have that pass interference, I don't really know what more Belichick could have done.
No, your bed's made with the pass interference.
You know?
Even with the two timeouts, it's a first down for them. You don't have enough timeouts to stop the clock enough.
It's just,
to get
you know,
the ball back.
In that situation, if it's a 35 or 40-yard field, maybe I feel a little differently. But at that point, thing's a chip shot. Like, just let the kid go kick it. That's how I feel about it. And it almost worked, by the way. The thing was barely good, if it was even good. I haven't seen anything conclusive that says one way or the other. Let's go to Jay in Pensacola, Florida. You're next up here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Doing well.
I'm just sitting here, just finished throwing up. I just don't, I mean, what... When does it come down to the players actually stepping in and maybe throwing in some money? Because now it almost seems to be like they're taking, even the coaches and the players are taking advantage of these refs.
Yeah, I mean, Jay.
Cheap shots.
Jay, you know? I don't know if it's the players who have to pony up. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I mean, it's the owners. I mean, the owners are making money hand over fist. So I'm not going to say the players have to pony up money here. Now, again, the officials, that's another example, what Jay just cited there. It's another example of how awful these officials were tonight. They couldn't control the chippiness going back and forth. Like, you couldn't keep players in line. I think that's significant, by the way. That was early on in the game, before it was like a penalty every other play and really disrupted the tempo of the game. And look, both these teams wanted to go up tempo at the end. Both the Patriots and Ravens were essentially going no huddle and up tempo. So I'm not saying the tempo hurt one team more than the other, but, you know, they really injected themselves into the tempo of the game at the end, where it was so slow and difficult to watch. But, you know, not being able to control either side. Like, Mankins wasn't flagged once tonight for any of that chippiness after the whistle. And I was just blown away by that. I mean, he was one of the instigators tonight. And he didn't even get flagged once.
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
We didn't totally get any of those tonight. Which I guess is good. Let's go to Doug in Nashville. You're next up here on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Doug.
Hi. I had a couple of points I wanted to know on the personal foul against the coach.
Yep.
Why did the clock stop? I know he said he wanted to call a timeout, but I don't think they were charged with the timeout, but the clock stopped at 2:18.
So I think they were charged with a timeout, though I can't speak with certainty on that, Doug. I think they were charged with a timeout there, but I could be wrong on that one. I guess I'd have to go back and double-check that.
Also, I wanted to know, is the uncatchable ball still on the books for pass interference? Because I haven't seen the call one time this year. Is the ball thrown out of bounds, they still call pass interference?
Yeah, and we actually... We got an email about that as well, Doug, and I'm assuming it's the same person who wrote that in. So we appreciate the phone call, 508-298-0398. It is indeed. I mean, if it's deemed uncatchable, then you're not going to get, you know, the pass interference call. You know, if it's deemed,
you're going to get holding or illegal contact.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's true. You could get something else. It's a good point, but you're not going to get pass interference. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Henry writes in. I thought this was an interesting email. I can't believe the wide receivers the Patriots rolled out there tonight. I'm sorry, but Edelman is not a bona fide wide receiver. By the way, Edelman left the game with a hand injury tonight at halftime. He had the touchdown that put the Patriots in front on a great drive right before halftime, by the way, which we haven't really talked about a lot. 9 plays, 81 yards, put the Pats up by 6 at halftime. That's the play, presumably, where Edelman injured his hand. I actually thought Edelman played all right tonight, but I agree. Is he a bona fide wide receiver? Should he be playing in two wide receiver sets over Welker? Probably not. And just another digression here before we get back to the email. That Welker 59-yard catch was out of a two-wide receiver set, by the way. It was he and Lloyd. It wasn't Edelman. So Welker did see some action in two-wide receiver sets before Edelman left the game. Anyway, Henry continues. Welker, just because he catches a lot of balls doesn't mean he's a dominating receiver. Almost any other receiver would have scored on that play he had down the sideline. And this is the play, I believe, where Welker gets down there and He can't quite turn the corner, and I'm trying to remember where that was, but just can't quite turn the corner to punch things in when the Patriots were down close and they had to settle for a field goal. I believe it was the Gostkowski 20-yarder, but I guess I don't recall offhand, but I remember the play he's referencing. And he writes, Lloyd is okay, but I don't think he's a number one receiver. Belichick's a great coach, but I don't believe he can draft wide receiver talent. They need wide receivers that can make plays. I thought Lloyd looked pretty good tonight. I've been critical of Lloyd the last 2 weeks. I thought he looked good tonight, so I'm not going to pile on with him. On Welker, you know, I just want to point this out because I haven't referenced it yet. It's 3 straight games with a pretty killer drop by Wes Welker. You know, Welker had one just easy catch, go right through his hands. Patriots' 4th drive, and they had to settle for a field goal. It was on a 2nd and 11, so the Pats faced the 3rd and 11, and they wound up picking up the first down, but just an awful, awful drop by Wes Welker. And I feel like we didn't used to say that ever. About Wes Welker, and I feel like we've been saying it an awful lot so far this season. 3rd straight game with a drop for him, worth noting. 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you there, but we mentioned the Patriots dropped to 1-2. They are now down at the bottom of the AFC East standings. Let's see how the rest of the division fared as we go around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
As we mentioned, Patriots find themselves down at the bottom of the division because we saw a few teams go head-to-head here today in the division. It was the Jets and Dolphins, and they went to overtime where the Jets pulled things out 23-20 at Miami as Nick Folk made a 33-yard field goal, but it wasn't after a bit of confusion as he had already missed a kick, but the Dolphins had called timeout while they were trying to ice Nick Folk. He came back out and made a 33-yarder for the win, and that was also after Dan Carpenter missed a 48-yard field goal in this one. And not the first miss of the day for Carpenter either, as he was 2-of-4 on the day kicking field goals. So the Jets able to escape. However, they did lose Darrell Revis, and it could be a significant injury for Darrell Revis. And that's something we'll find out over the course of the week. But the Jets do move to 2-1, and the Dolphins drop to 1-2. Same record as the Patriots. The only other game in the division today were the Buffalo Bills. 24-14 win over the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Good job by the Bills to go on the road, even to beat a Browns team, and pull out a win as they improved to 2-1. 3 touchdown passes for Ryan Fitzpatrick, though one of the main takeaways from this story is another injury. C.J. Spiller had a touchdown in this one, but also hurt his shoulder. He has been ruled out already by the Buffalo Bills for their next game against the Patriots on Sunday in Buffalo. Doesn't sound like Freddie Jackson is a lock to go in that game either. So the Bills could be down 2 of their top running backs in that game. However, Deshard Choice, 20 carries for 91 yards in this one. It seems like whoever Buffalo plugs in that backfield, they've been productive. So the Bills and Jets are at 2-1. In the AFC East, Dolphins and Pats are at 1-2. We said this earlier. It's worth reiterating. First time the Patriots have been below 500 since 2003. That is a staggering statistic. The longest stretch in the NFL, consecutive weeks being above 500, was 145 straight weeks without a losing record for the Pats. The Ravens now have the longest streak at 62 straight. Let's go back to the phone calls. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Oz dials us up. What's going on, Oz?
Oh, man, not much, man. I'm pretty bummed out with this loss. This one just hit me much, much more than last week's.
Totally. Oh, I agree with that. I think this is a much worse loss. We were actually talking about it in the break, Oz, that, you know, just from a tiebreaker standpoint, being a conference opponent and a team that you may be trying to earn a bye from, and, yeah, maybe this is the difference between playing Baltimore at home, which you did in the AFC Championship game and wound up having a field goal go wide, and then, you know, having to go on the road where we saw a field goal go through the uprights. It could be as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, by the way, I'm a first-time caller, and I live in Tampa, Florida, but I think the game started out, I think the defense is what really, really frustrated me towards the second, third, and the fourth quarter. Like you said, Arrington, he couldn't cover my grandmother.
No, today. he was bad tonight.
McCarty, he was getting burned. He was just getting burned, too. And he missed out on three possible interceptions. I mean, the opportunities were there for the defense to shut him down, and it just they didn't take it. I mean, everybody wants to blame the refs. Everybody wants to blame, it is what it is, but the players are the ones playing the game, not the refs. Yeah, if a call goes bad one way or the other, but I think both teams got their fair bad calls. Maybe the Ravens got a little bit more bad calls on their end. But I mean, you can't put the blame on them. I blame the defense. I think at some point in the game after the second quarter, the cornerbacks really they just started not doing the job. Maybe they lost a step or they're, you know, that's who I blame, the defense. This game reminded me of last year, where everybody was just like throwing and, you know, just throwing over and just getting burned. I was having flashbacks. It's ridiculous. I think we're going to be okay. They can bounce from this game and they better. I mean, they better. But if I was Belichick, I'm glad that I'm not in that room. I'm pretty sure Belichick. Yeah. Arrington right now has a second butthole.
Yeah,
okay.
I would not want to be Kyle Arrington tonight. Nas, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I wanted to get to an email quick before we wrapped up with a few other phone calls. That's where Dan writes into webradio@patriots.com. Adam, no bleep. We didn't see the pass rush tonight. Two reasons. One, when offensive holding doesn't get called, you won't see it. Two, when coaching call is just set the edge, you won't see it. Secondary was awful. McCourty was okay. The others were much worse. And again, that's Dan writing into webradio@patriots.com. You know, look, I don't know how much of it is coaching per se and the scheme. I thought the scheme was fine the first 2 weeks. I think some of it is going against a more legit opponent, a slightly more mobile quarterback and probably a better offensive line. You know, I read all week that, you know, Chandler Jones was going to be able to have his way with Michael Orr. I think he was the only guy who really seemed to apply any pressure. And certainly there were some holding calls that didn't get called for the Patriots. I think that went both ways, though. You know, but there were a couple of times where I thought Ninkovich was applying some pressure and got held. But I don't know how much of it is the scheme. You know, I thought the scheme was fine the first 2 weeks. So I'm not going to say I like the scheme the first 2 weeks and then they lose one and blame the scheme the next day. And I just disagree on McCourty. I thought he was fine for three quarters, but he was worst when the game was on the line, or at his worst when the game was on the line. Let's go to Usman. You're next up here on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show. What's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much, man. Just trying to get over this loss by doing some homework or some stuff. The thing that stuck out today was, like, basically what happened last year when quarterbacks were just owning their defense because the cornerbacks never stepped up when it mattered. They're just, like, letting them cruise downfield every single drive when it mattered in the fourth quarter, last 2 minutes, like, no stop at all. Like, every time the defense, like, has to get a stop in the last 2 minutes, I'm like, all right, it's over. They're not stopping them.
Yeah, I mean, Usman, I was sitting in the studio by myself, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398, and I said it out loud to no one. I just said, when the Ravens got the ball back, there was no way the Patriots were stopping them. Like, I just didn't believe that for a second. And I know that's easy to say now, but I swear on my life, that's the truth. You know, I'm just sitting here looking at this thing, and it's like, they're not going to stop them. They haven't stopped them really at all in the second half. They didn't really stop them outside of the first couple of drives of the game, where, again, the Ravens went three and out, pick three and out. After that, the Patriots didn't really get stops. There was one punt on the second drive of the second half, and then a turnover on downs where they still got onto the Patriots half of the field. And I thought that was a great play by Chung, but it's not like the defense stopped them on that drive necessarily. They still drove for almost 50 yards. It's not like they shut him down anyway. Maybe the better way of putting it. I didn't think there was any chance the Patriots were going to stop them from getting in field goal range, which is why I do put some of it on the offense, not being able to run out the clock, not being able to churn out some yards. Let's wrap things up with Vinny in Michigan. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Vin.
Hey, I just want to speak to one thing here, two things, actually. First thing, I kept saying we're up by six. Oh, we're up by six. It'd be nice to be up by seven. What's your thoughts on that going for two on that last touchdown? I kept thinking, oh, you know, it's 13-14, we're down by one. Okay, it's 21-20, we're down by one. I'm thinking, you know what, it'd be nice to be up a whole touchdown here. And it really just comes back and goes.
Yeah, we got a text about that as well, Vinny, or an email rather, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I really didn't have a problem with it because, you know, what happens is you go for two and you don't get it, and then two field goals beat you or whatever it is. So it's just, you know, you play that game out. I've seen it come back to bite teams. In this case, it's easy now to look back at it and say, well, why didn't they go for two? I can just tell you that in the moment, I had no problem with the Patriots kicking the extra point. Like, I didn't have an issue with that whatsoever. That put them up 27-21, I believe. And, you know, at that point, I didn't think it was necessary to go for two. So I'll just tell you how I felt in the moment, and maybe I'm wrong about it, but that's how I felt about it while I was watching it. I thought going for the extra point and taking the points while they were there and putting yourself up two field goals, that was the way to do it, because otherwise the Patriots get beat by two field goals, and we're questioning why they went for two if they don't get it. We appreciate all the feedback tonight on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. It's full phone lines pretty much throughout the night, ton of emails. I apologize that we couldn't get to all of them, and also the tweets at Adam Jones ESPN. Tough one tonight for the Pats. They will come back and take on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo next Sunday at 1 o'clock. I will talk to you on both the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and also the Sun Life Patriots postgame show next Sunday right here on Patriots.com. Everything I needed to know about you here. Sweet whisper, your tender touch. I didn't really
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Next Sunday, the Patriots head to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Kickoff at Ralph Wilson Stadium is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to tune in to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social at 10:45 a.m., followed by the Sun Life Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.